last word on sport.
With Energia, from local heroes to international legends, we're proud to support Irish rugby. Energia. Think of the possibilities.
Now, to finish off the last word on sport for this Friday ahead of your bank holiday, delighted to say that we've got Donald McRae with us, who's been immersed in boxing for over five decades at this stage. He's followed fighters around the world, winning multiple awards for his riding as well. I think by his own admission, though, his love for boxing has probably waned in recent times due to the criminality, sports washing and corruption around the sport. But what he claims is going to be his last book, certainly about boxing, is The Last Bell, Life, Death and Boxing. And Donald is with us now. Donald, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Will. Thanks for having me on.
I set the tone purely because you've been writing so much in recent years about the criminality, about the sports washing, about the way the boxing has probably moved in a certain way to prop up regimes and has been used. But yet, a few years ago, when you were at the outset of writing this book, boxing also inspired you to get your pen back up again.
Yes, it did. And, you know, I think I should make a distinction between boxing and the business of boxing. I still love boxing. You know, I enjoy talking to fighters. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with them before a fight and after a fight. And I can be inspired by them and moved by them, amused by them. But the business of boxing has become so dark. It's always been kind of besmirched with corruption going back to the 1930s, 40s, 50s. But lately, I think it's darker and bleaker than ever before.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose in a way people probably were able to come to terms with the idea of gangsters and maybe some of the boxing corruption around betting and so on that would have happened 100 years ago or maybe a little bit less than 100 years ago. But it is slightly different when you see the way the boxing is being used as a tool right now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, certainly, you know, we talk about the sort of the gangster element, for want of a better euphemism. I think it's been tragic that boxing in Ireland, you know, from 2015, has hardly featured. Sure, Katie Taylor came back in the last year or two, but a small tragedy that, you know, someone like Casey has had to fight abroad. And now in the last 18 months, Saudi Arabia has taken control of elite boxing, and clearly it's part of their sort of master plan to sports washing is an overused term, but I think they are using sport to perhaps sanitize their infamous public image.
Yeah, I think the Rhea season is getting longer and longer as each year goes on.
It seems endless, doesn't it?
It's a season that never ends. But look, take me back to 2018, because again, like, I think this is one of the things that's very interesting about boxers. So boxers have to sell their own story, really, Donald, when it comes to this. Yeah. And you get a lot more honesty, I think, from them than you do in many team sports, because in a team sport, there's always that feeling that they're a representative for the team and they don't want to let anybody down. But a boxer has to sell themselves. And so I think you can get a lot more raw honesty. And that's something you found from, we'll talk about some of the really high profile boxers in a moment, but even in a general sense, you'll generally get quite a bit of honesty from a fighter.
You would. And, you know, for the Guardian newspaper, I do their weekly sports interview. So I interview sportsmen and women from all sporting disciplines. And the boxers never let me down because they are so open. I think it's partly because they walk a tightrope when they are fighting. You know, they could be damaged. They could be maimed. They could even lose their lives. And in a way, this lends a candor to them. And they are amazingly willing to talk about their hopes and fears. And that's what also pulled me back to boxing in 2018. You know, I'd missed that sort of accessibility of the fighters, and I wanted to immerse myself back in that world.
Tell me about following Tyson Fury then, because Tyson Fury, in a way, he was in your life previously, but at the time that you're starting to write this book and you're speaking to him, it's a very interesting time in his life as well, where he's coming off the back of his own mental health struggles, which would ultimately see him become the lineal world champion again.
Sure. You know, just to give a little bit of context with me and Tyson, I first interviewed him in 2011. He wasn't hugely famous then, but he was the British heavyweight champion. And I interviewed him in his small bungalow. So he didn't have the money he has now with him and his wife and two small kids. And his bipolar disorder had not been diagnosed at that stage. So he said to me, "I don't know what's the matter with me. Sometimes I'm so happy I'm flying. Other times I'm so sad. I feel like I get in a car, go to 120 miles an hour and, you know, crash into a wall and end it all." So it was quite a moving and upsetting interview in many ways. And then what subsequently happened, he becomes, you know, world champion. He beats Vladimir Klitschko in Germany against all odds with a masterclass of intelligence and skill. But then soon after that, you know, the drugs and the drink take hold of him and he balloons up to almost 400 pounds in weight. There's a doping allegation against him. Things are not good. He retires. He doesn't fight for, you know, over 2 years. And then suddenly in the summer of 2018, he made his comeback. And 6 months later, 1st of December 2018, he fights again for the world title against Deontay Wilder, a formidable, ferocious puncher. And he masterclass, but he does get knocked down in the last round. He looks like he's not going to be able to get up for many, many minutes. But somehow he does. And in the context of his mental health struggles, it was quite inspirational what he did that night and certainly sealed my conviction that I've got to write this book.
Yeah, look, I'd agree. I think he's a fascinating character. And I mean, we got a bit of a window in a different way to the book for anyone who saw it, Home with the Furies, which was on Netflix a couple of years ago as well, before the latest comeback. And who knows, maybe he's faced his last bell. I'm not sure, because Tyson keeps telling us that he's retired and he's 100% retired. And if the right money seems to fit, he'll still come back to box again. So I'm not sure if we will see him again. But like, I know Andy Lee a little bit as well. And Andy's obviously very involved with him and related to him. So therefore, you know, he kind of has always said to us that he's a very complex character, Tyson, that even sometimes when he was coming into the gym, you never quite know what Tyson is actually going to walk through the door.
That's what I always found. And he was a bit like Mike Tyson, who I've written about extensively and knew well in the 1990s. So with both Tysons, you're never quite sure which man you're going to encounter. And Tyson Fury can be enormously charming and funny, but also he can be difficult sometimes. And I think his whole life is besieged by complexity, which in a way sums up the ambivalence of boxing. There's a lot of good and a lot of light, but there's a lot of darkness and danger.
You've been following Alexander Usyk as well, the man who has you know, taken his titles since when he's beaten Tyson Fury now a couple of times. Again, I find him a very, very compelling story. A man who is fighting for world titles and at the top of these bills, at the same time when he's remarkably patriotic about his country in Ukraine as well.
Yeah, of course. You know, I started interviewing him in about 2019, but our in-depth interviews began after the war had started when Russia had invaded Ukraine. And he said to me once, "Don, I wish you had known me before this war," because he said, "I'm such a funny guy." I said, "I know that. I've seen all the sort of YouTube videos where he's in the gym dancing, making jokes. He's still a funny man, but you felt the gravity and the burden weighing down on him. But he's also quite a humble person. And, you know, he is the one fighter who I think since Muhammad Ali has a sort of political resonance that most boxers don't have. I wouldn't compare him to Ali because, of course, what Ali did with the civil rights movement was, you know, you couldn't be matched. But certainly what Usyk means to Ukraine is hugely significant.
As a fighter, he's quite remarkable too, because he still moves like a cruiserweight even when he's in the heavyweight division. And even both times that he fought Fury, in a way, it's kind of a physical mismatch. But yes, Usyk has this stamina, he has this speed that makes him such a compelling guy to watch.
And also, I think, Will, it's this intelligence in him. He manages, a bit like a chess grandmaster, to see the fight unfolding 2-3 rounds ahead. And often he seems like he's being physically dominated. But then suddenly there's a switch, and it's because Usyk has actually solved the puzzle and now he takes charge. And, you know, Tyson Fury, 6'9", you know, Usyk is about 7 inches shorter than that and weighs so much less, but he would, you know, eventually, you know, would be beating up and knocking down Tyson Fury.
I have to ask you about Katie Taylor as well, because from an Irish perspective, you already mentioned, you know, in the post-Regency world, she's had to fight outside the country. She's been promoted with Matchroom and with Eddie Hearn. And Eddie Hearn has said to us many, many times he would love for Croke Park to happen. I have a feeling, Don, it's not ever going to happen at this stage, that, you know, that they're going back to MSG for the trilogy fight. It's very hard to see it happen before she retires.
Yes, you know, I think that was always her hope, was that that third fight against Serrano would be at Croke Park. But, you know, I think Netflix kind of, and Madison Square Gardens, I think they're paying them a lot of money. So it's going back to the garden. It certainly will, again, be a compelling event. And, you know, I think Katie's just done amazing things. I hope, you know, she can soon step away, because she's been fighting a long time. And as great as she is, you know, there's an accumulation of damage which has consequences.
Very few boxers have got such a strong CV with Fight of the Year contenders as Katie Taylor has had in recent times. Yeah. The first fight against Serrano was incredible. The second one was very, very good in Texas. A couple of battles with Chantel Cameron, Delphine Persoon, she had to come through a few battles as well. Katie Taylor doesn't do it the easy way.
She doesn't. I think, you know, she's often said to me she can't help herself. She likes to get into what she'd call a dogfight. And even if she, her skills are such that she doesn't need to do that, but she just gets involved in this tear-up. And, yeah, she's got such heart and grit. But, yes, these punches are damaging. And but I think for her, how will she replace? It'll be like a void in her life once boxing ends.
How did you find her as an interview subject for the book? Because I know you've been writing about Katie Taylor for a long, long time. In a way, she probably gives away very little in press conferences. There's this other side with her relationship with her dad and also her relationship with her faith. How did you find her as an interviewee?
You know, when I started the book, I think my ambition was I was going to be the person who was going to pull the curtain back and get to the heart of Katie Taylor as a woman outside the boxing ring. But clearly that didn't happen. And, you know, Katie's polite, respectful, but she is guarded. And after a while, I thought, well, it's not actually my place to sort of probe too deeply and attempt to get her to open up on her private life. Because what she does in the boxing ring speaks for itself. And when you think about not only as she's a pioneer, but also what she has done for boxing, and especially for women's boxing, and even women, I would say, have been inspired by her across the world. So that I was quite content in a way just to talk to Katie. We did many interviews. I didn't get the depth I would maybe with, say, Alexander Usyk. But, I love her, admire her hugely for what she's done.
Well, look, your book is a cracker. It is The Last Bell, Life, Death and Boxing. Donald McRae, many thanks for joining us on The Last Word on this Friday evening.
The Last Word on Sport.
With Energia. From local heroes to international legends, we're proud to support Irish rugby. Energia. Think of the possibilities.